Amen. Well, thank you all for being here this morning, and another congratulations to all of our graduates. I was thinking as I was walking up here, it's amazing how fast the years fly by. Man, I graduated high school around 25 years ago, and some of you are calculating my age right now. I know what you're doing. But it's just amazing how fast the years go. And so my encouragement to you guys is make the most of the years that God gives you. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and He'll take care of everything else in your lives for you. So I invite you this morning to please open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. We'll be focusing on verse 12, and that'll be our text for the morning as we continue our study of this paragraph in James, James 1, 2 through 18. One way that I can usually get both of my boys to obey in a situation is by promising them a reward. If I say, Titus and Truett, if you will listen to Daddy, and you will sit patiently and keep your hands off of each other, and you won't talk, and you'll play with the toys you have, and you'll let Daddy get done with whatever Daddy has to do, Daddy will give you some ice cream. It's amazing what my boys will do for ice cream. And some of you are thinking, if you promised me that, Pastor, it'd be amazing what I would do for ice cream. We've been learning in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 18, that James tells us that trials in life are a certainty. They're going to happen. We just don't know when we're going to go through various hardships. And James's concern has been that Christians should respond in the right way to their trials. Remember, James is concerned about us in this book being friends of God and not friends of the world. So he wants us to know in the very trials that we will experience how to do them in the right way, God's way and not the world's way. And so we've been walking through this text and we've come to verse 12 this morning. And James has been providing us with various action steps to take that will help us to respond in the way that God wants us to through trials. And this morning, the statement that James makes in verse 12, he provides us with a spiritual truth that serves as a motivation, an encouragement for us to obey God through our trials that we experience in life, whatever they are, whenever they come. And this is what James says in verse 12. He says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." James gives a motivation, an encouragement in this passage. Now, the word blessed, it refers to a Christian who is the privileged recipient of God's special divine favor. To be blessed of God in the New Testament, it speaks about a man or a woman who's so approved of by God because of their obedience that God reveals his goodness to them in such a special way. And in this context, he reveals it by means of a reward. And so as a way to help us respond in the right way, whatever troubles we may experience in this life, this is the next action step that James gives us. The way we will respond rightly to trials is by remembering that God promises to bless us when we persevere through our trials. God promises to bless us when we persevere through our hardships in life. And James answers several questions about this blessing that God promises to us. First of all, he answers the question, who's the recipient of this blessing? We'll look at what he says in the first part of verse 12. He says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial." A man here is just a general reference to any believer, Christian man or a Christian woman, and specifically to a Christian who perseveres under trial. This word perseveres, it refers to someone who maintains a belief or a course of action in the face of opposition. When you think of a persevering Christian, think of a man or a woman who holds their ground, who stands and is able to endure or hold out whatever comes his or her way. So James is telling us that there's a special blessing that comes to the Christian man or the Christian woman who perseveres or stands their ground when trials come and they don't give up. This word perseveres, it's in the present tense. And it speaks of a Christian who has this ongoing, continual endurance, steadfastness, that they make it all the way through their trials. Now, it's not referring to a Christian who's perfect, because none of us are perfect, but it refers to someone who doesn't give up, someone who doesn't quit halfway through. Let me give you this illustration to maybe help communicate what James is talking about here, this recipient of the blessing, the one who perseveres. When I played football, we had something that they called two-a-day practices. Now, I dreaded two-a-day practices. We called them two-a-day practices because you had to practice twice a day. And we would have these practices a couple of weeks leading up to the start of the new semester. So when we had two-a-day practices, let me tell you what they were like for me. One, when two-a-day practices started, my body was aching all over. I think every part of my body hurt because of the running we had to do, because of the agilities, because of all the stretching. My body was racked with pain. Then my head was hurting all the time because if you haven't worn a football helmet in a while, I mean, you get those headaches when you have that tight helmet on your head and then you're hitting each other in practice. You're not used to that. You've taken the summer off, and so I had headaches. And then let me tell you, there's just that feeling of, man, you're about to puke everything you do. You're just on your knees. And you're thinking to yourself, God, why do I put myself through this? I mean, why am I out here when previously, a week before, I was in the AC. Man, I was chilling on anything I wanted to drink that was nice and cool. Man, I had it easy. Why am I doing this? And you're running, and you're hitting, and you just feel sick as you can be. Now, let me tell you something about my two-day practices. None of them were perfect. I dropped balls. I was a tight end, so I didn't always catch every pass that was thrown to me. When we would get in pit and we'd practice tackling, I would miss tackles, and, you know, I'd get my name called out. Schmidt, you need to lock up there. You know, I didn't lock up, so I missed tackles. There were times when I was just complaining. I'm like, when is this ever going to be over? Am I ever going to make it through these 2 weeks of two-a-days? But here's the thing. When I went through two-a-days, they weren't perfect practices for me, but I didn't give up. I didn't quit. And let me tell you why I didn't quit. Because I was looking forward to something else that I knew was going to happen. By making it through two-a-days, I was going to make the team. You see, if you didn't finish two-a-days, you didn't get to play football that year. And by playing or going through two-a-days and gritting it out and not giving it up and having this stick-to-itness when two-a-days were there, I was going to make the team and get to play on Friday nights. And man, I looked forward to those experiences. That's the picture James is giving us when it comes to this Christian who experiences the various hardships of life and perseveres, and God promises to bless them with a reward. It's not a perfect Christian. All of us, when we go through various trials in life, we're going to have a complainative attitude sometimes. We're going to sin. We're going to do things that we shouldn't do. But because we've got our eyes fixed on the prize and we know what God has promised to us, when we start complaining, we remember that James has told us, oh, you're supposed to have this attitude that rejoices when trials come, because you know that God's intending them for your good, to build endurance into your life and to grow you spiritually. When you sin, you get down on your knees and you go to God and you say, God, I know I did wrong here. And you don't give up. And you get cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ as you confess your sins and you get back on the path and you start following God again in obedience and you make your way through to the end of that trial. We hang in there. We stay faithful to Christ. When that loved one dies, who held a special place in our heart and we weren't expecting that death, we hang in there and we keep pressing on. When we get that diagnosis we didn't see coming, and the doctor tells us he doesn't know what way it's going to go, but we keep our faith and obedience anchored in Christ, and we keep doing things God's way, even though we don't know what's ahead. We keep faithful to God, pressing on when our children rebel, and they don't keep the faith that we try to instill in them growing up in our homes. We persevere. And I think this is going to start happening more and more when our bosses call us in to the office and tell us they're letting us go because we do not compromise our beliefs in the Word of God, and we're not willing to do things the world's way, but we still are willing to press on and be faithful to God when those and various other kinds of trials come. And the reason we do this kind of person, look at what James says in the latter part of the verse. We do it, we persevere because we love Him. That's who this promise is, that of reward is given to. It's to those who persevere because they ultimately love Jesus Christ. They love God the Father. They love the Holy Spirit. And though the hardships of this world hurt, their love for God's greater, and they're not willing to give up because they know of God's good promise. So brothers and sisters, this morning, here's the word for you. When you think about the recipient of this promised blessing, don't give up. Don't give up. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but James is telling us, don't throw in the towel. It's too soon to quit. Hang in there. And to all our graduates this morning, I want to tell you, when I was doing postgraduate studies at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, some of the greatest trials came into my life that I ever experienced, and they were during my time as a student. That's when my brother, we're 18 months apart, best of friends growing up. That's when I got the call that my brother had been murdered as a police officer. And that was a critical time in my life, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to trust God through this and keep doing what God's called me to do, or am I going to go the world's way? Am I going to rebel? Am I going to start living life on my own terms? And what I chose to do is I chose to stay faithful to Christ. And so I encourage you this morning, listen to what James is saying. I pray God gives you a smooth road. But James tells us we're going to have various kinds of trials in life. Hang in there. When those trials come, keep your eyes focused on Christ. Because remember, this promise that James makes is to the one who loves Him. It's to the one who perseveres under trials. So keep walking in obedience wherever you are at. Because that's the person, that's the Christian that God promises to reward. So who's the recipient? It's the one who perseveres through trial, the one who loves God. Second, James answers this question. What is the reason for the blessing? Well, James tells us by the conjunction that follows in the second part of verse 12. My translation has the word for. Your translation may have the word since, or it may have the word because. This conjunction gives us a reason as to why God blesses a Christian who perseveres under trial. Why? James says, for once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life. So God promises this reward to us because we've come through the trial approved. Now this word approved, it refers to someone who has proven himself to be genuine on the basis of what they've experienced. You'll remember back in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, earlier, that James tells us that trials are God's tests for us in life. Sometimes He causes them. Sometimes He allows them. That's just part of living in a sinful world. Sometimes there's more going on than what we will ever understand this side of heaven. But God allows those trials. And James tells us that those trials, remember I used this illustration, they serve to refine our faith. They're a test for us, just like a goldsmith putting fire under extreme temperatures to separate the impurities to have a purer gold. Well, God turns the heat up on our lives. And that's what trials do, and it perfects our faith so that we will be perfect in the end, lacking in nothing. So trials do refine us, but they not only refine our faith, they actually prove our character. They prove whether we have a real love for Christ, whether we have a true Christian character, whether we have a true devotion to the Lord. And God promises once we go through these tests and we come through on the other side, it proves the character, the love, and the devotion that we have for Jesus Christ. Persevering to the end then, brothers and sisters, it demonstrates to a watching world the realness of our faith. Let me give you this thought to maybe this will connect this point on what James is trying to say. I remember coming into class in both high school and in college, having to take tests. Never really looked forward to tests, but you had to take them. And do you remember you had some of those teachers? It didn't seem like they cared if you passed or failed. They really didn't. And you're concerned about passing the test. And all the while you're in the room, you're taking a test, and the person sitting up there at the desk, your teacher, your professor, the proctor of the exam, they've got the answers you need. But they're not giving you those answers that you're taking on that test. They're just not going to give them to you. It's your responsibility to know the answers so that you can pass the test and get the grade that you need to pass. When trials come our way, James tells us they're tests. And brothers and sisters, here's the good, good news. Jesus, John chapter 13, he's the master teacher. And whatever trial we're going through, woo, he's always in the room. He's proctoring the exam. And do you know what? As the master teacher, he's got every answer we need. And he's not the professor who's aloof and doesn't care about us. He is the teacher who wants us to pass the test. And do you know all we have to do is just ask Jesus for the answers. Remember last week we looked at the week before last. James tells us if we don't know what to do, pray to God for wisdom. And God, who has wisdom and gives it generously, he'll give it to us when we ask in faith. We've got a heavenly teacher who's willing to give us whatever we need to pass the test. And understand this, Jesus wants us to pass the test. God's not against us, he is for us. So wherever you're at this morning, pray to God. Tell God, God, I need some answers. And he may not explain everything to you, but he'll give you what you need to pass the test and to come out on the other side approved. He will give you the strength to endure. He'll give you the wisdom to persevere. He'll give you that support you need to make it through to the other side. So who is the recipient of this promised reward? It's the one who perseveres, who loves God. What is the reason for this promised reward of making it through trials? Because we're tested and we come out approved, we prove the genuineness of our faith. And then last of all, James answers one final question. What is the nature of this promised blessing? What does it consist of? James tells us, the last part of verse 12, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Two elements to the nature of this promised reward. Number one, the nature of this blessing, this promised reward, pertains to the future. Notice the future tense. He will receive. Definitely, we read through the Bible, there is the promise of blessing in the here and now. If we endure and we're faithful to God, we will experience an inner joy that other people will not know. And God's goodness upon us physically, spiritually, and in the various realms in which we do life, there will be special divine favor on our lives. Ever how God chooses to display that for us from one person to the next, that's a reality. But that's not James's focus here. James is not focused on the here and now. James is focused on what is to come. He's looking towards the future. He says we will receive the crown of life. He's thinking of what awaits us in the eternal state. He's thinking about that time when our salvation is brought to its completion. And we're going to dwell with God forever and ever in the new heaven and the new earth. And so in this present time of hardship, James is telling us when we think about the promised blessed life that God assures to us, this reward, don't get caught up with this tunnel vision of just the here and now. We've got to learn to see beyond the present to what God has promised us in eternity. We've got to have an eternal mindset, one that's heavenly. So the nature of this blessing pertains to the future. And secondly, the nature of this blessing pertains to life. This reward, James calls the crown of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul tells us there's going to be a day when we're all judged by Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we will not be judged for our sin because Christ was already judged on the cross for our sin. But we will be judged for our works, our good or our bad works, how faithfully we serve Christ. And Paul tells us that we're going to be rewarded. And there's a lot of mystery about what that's going to exactly look like. We don't understand completely all of these rewards that await faithful believers in Christ. Some people will receive rewards, and Paul tells us some will not receive rewards that others will, because they had a lot of bad works, but even so, their lives will still be saved because Christ paid the price for their sins and they trusted in Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about various crowns. 2 Timothy 4:8 speaks of the crown of righteousness. 1 Peter 5:4 speaks of the crown of glory. And we also find that Jesus speaks in Revelation 2:10 of the crown of life, something that may be similar to this very crown that James speaks of in chapter 1, verse 12. So what is James talking about when he speaks of the crown of life? Back in this day, the Greek athletic contests of the first century, they would reward the competitor who won the competition, whatever the athletic event was, with a victor's crown. And most of the time, this victor crown was a laurel wreath, some type of a vegetative leaf. Since James is speaking in language of endurance and passing a test, many scholars believe this is the crown that James would have had in mind as he's thinking about this reward at the end, especially since it's promised to believers who endure the struggles of the trials that come against them in life. It's a victor's crown, an overcomer's crown, the winner's crown. But what is it specifically? When we see this construction, the crown of life, James probably intends for us to understand it this way: the crown, which is life. It's a crown which stands for life. Some scholars believe that James is talking specifically in a general sense to the reward of salvation, to eternal life, which is promised to all believers who endure. And if you're a true believer, you will endure to the end. The Bible teaches that. That's a possibility. But other scholars believe, and I think their thinking is more correct here with James 1:12, that James is speaking about something more than just eternal life that God is promising to those who persevere through their trials. And I believe Donald Burdick gives us a good explanation. This is what Donald Burdick says. It's evident that this life that God has promised, it's more than eternal life given to every believer at the time of his salvation. Since it is a reward for an accomplishment subsequent to initial faith, it must refer to a still higher quality of life. So Burdick is saying God's already promised eternal life to all who turn from their sins genuinely and place their faith in Christ. So that is a given. It seems in this text, and I think scholars who have this line of thinking, they're correct, that James is talking about a reward that's given to believers for something they've done in this life, something they've accomplished. They've persevered through the various trials of life, and they've obeyed God through them. William MacDonald gives us a helpful illustration, I think, which sheds light on helping us understand this promise better. This is what William MacDonald says. He says, those who have endured with fortitude the trials of life, they'll be honored for that kind of life. They're going to enjoy a deeper appreciation of eternal life in heaven. Now listen to what he says following this. Everyone's cup in heaven is going to be full, but people will have different sized cups and different capacities for enjoying heaven. Back in 1992, McDonald's came out with the supersized menu option. And as a hungry teenager, man, I thank God for that. When we would go through McDonald's, and I ate at McDonald's quite a bit as a 12-year-old and as a teenager going into middle school, high school, when we would go through the drive-thru and I would order a 20-piece chicken nugget or a double quarter pounder with cheese, the cashier would always ask, would you like that regular or supersized? Man, as a hungry kid, I was like, supersize mine. Because I'm thinking, why would you ever take the small fry when you could have the big one? And why would you want that small Dr. Pepper, man, when you could get the huge Dr. Pepper? I'm like, it's no-brainer for me. Supersize my meal. Brothers and sisters, based on what James is telling us in chapter 1, verse 12, God promises he's going to reward us if we will persevere and stay faithful to Christ through our various hardships in this life. And while everyone who's a Christian's going to be rewarded with eternal life and dwelling with God, when it doesn't look like it could get better for some of us, man, think about it. God's going to supersize the cup for other believers who persevered and they gave it all they had for Jesus Christ. I promise my boys ice cream and they obey me sometimes. Man, God, there's no one who could out-reward God. If God's telling us, I'll give you a capacity to enjoy eternal life that's beyond anything you could ever imagine, sign me up. I want to enjoy heaven with that kind of eternal bliss. Why would we ever choose anything less? Let's persevere, brothers and sisters, wholeheartedly devoted to Christ, knowing this, that God promises to bless us with a reward, the crown of life, an enjoyment of heaven and life eternal. That's a divine privilege that he's going to give to men and women in Christ who responded to trials in his way, in the right way. So whenever you're going through a trial, wherever you're at this morning, this is what you should do. You should stop and you should pray, and this should be your prayer this morning. God, help me to remember that you are promising, that you're watching what I'm going through, and that there is a prize at the end of this. It may not be in this life, but it is in the life to come. And I want to give you all I've got till the day that you call me home, because I know you're going to be good to your word. And if you're watching online this morning, or you're here with us, and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you've never turned from your sin, acknowledged to God you're a sinner, and you've never committed your life to Jesus to believe in what he did for you, to follow him. Listen to the preacher in this pulpit. I say this not out of joy, but I say it as a herald of the truth. There is no promise of the reward of eternal life to someone who does not know Jesus. And I want you to, everyone, to think about this morning. This life is hard. I never in my wildest dreams growing up thought I would be someone who would have a brother who was murdered at age 30. Never crossed my mind. And that's just one of the many and deep sorrows I've had in this life. But praise God, through them all, I've had Jesus Christ to journey with me through them. If you're lost this morning and you've never given your heart to Christ, you do not know God and you're journeying through life alone. There is no promise of a blessing of the reward of eternal life, but there's this burdensome promise of eternal judgment. See, the Bible teaches us that we are sinners. The God of this universe is holy. We've transgressed his holiness, his righteousness. And we are under eternal condemnation. When we die, we will be judged for all of our sins. And what we deserve is to be separated from God in an eternal hell, a place of never-ending torment and separation from God. But here is the good news. And I share this week in and week out in hopes that lost sinners will understand God's love for them and the promise he makes. God made a remedy for our sins and the eternal judgment that we deserve. And it's all wrapped up in what he did with his son, Jesus Christ. The Son of God, the one who's co-eternal with God the Father, stepped down from heaven 2,000 years ago according to the plan that God put in place before he ever laid the foundations of this world. And Jesus came down as a man, as a little baby, grew and lived a perfect life, fulfilled the ministry assignments that God gave to him, and he never sinned, not once, against mankind or God. And he did all of that so that he could be a perfect sacrifice for our sins. The world rejected him, nailed him to a cross, and as he hung on that cross, God in heaven judged his innocent son in our place. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died the death penalty. And having suffered on that cross for 6 long hours, he breathed his last breath. He died. He went to the grave. And on the third day, just as the scriptures foretold and Jesus predicted, God raised his son from the dead. He raised him up with life. Jesus has life eternal. And he gives life, which means the forgiveness of sins and restoration with God to any sinner who who will turn from their sin and trust in Jesus. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, it breaks my heart that you're journeying through this life separated from God. And there's nothing good that will await you at the end of it. But if you'll come to Jesus this morning, if you're watching, if you'll come to Jesus this morning, you're willing to ask God to forgive you of your sins and commit your life to Christ, you'll have this promise of eternal life to await you at the end. We're going to have ministers up front. We're willing to receive you. What do you need to do this morning, whatever your trial in life, whether it's not knowing Christ or it's something else that you're journeying through this morning, God's calling you to endure. Would you please pray with me? Father, how awesome it is that your word is so practical for our life's needs. God, in a room this size, Lord, our hearts would just be broken and tears would begin to flow if we could hear everything that we have experienced, all the hurts, all the afflictions, all the adversities. But you know them all, even though we've not shared them with each other. God, will you encourage my church family this morning? If there's someone here who's thinking about it's not worth it, I'm ready to quit, I just can't do it anymore, will you give them that extra strength they need this morning by having this eternal perspective that you promise a blessing to those who endure, and it's going to be awaiting them one day in heaven. Give them what they need to keep pressing on today and tomorrow and the next day. And Father, if someone's watching, God, may they text the word decision to the number at the bottom of the screen so that we can help them. Or if there's someone in this room, may they come forward. We're ready to talk. We're ready to listen. We want to help them with next steps. Maybe somebody just needs prayer this morning. God, whatever you need to do in our lives, will you do it? Thank you for this promise. Blessed is a man who perseveres. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And we ask this in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Will you please stand?